This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Screencast, where each and every week we get together to review the latest in TV and movies. And if there is an MCU show going on, you know you're getting weekly reactions right here on youtube.com/kindafunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Screencast and we'll be right there for you. And if you wanted to get the show ad-free, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunny and do just that. And it would make me, Tim Gettys, very happy. Would it make you, Greg Miller, very happy?
That would make me so fucking happy, Tim. I would take this bottle and just pound it into Andy's fucking face until he finally admits,
Admits what?
Of course, we have the natural rifle.
Don't you know, Andy? We'll see after you get four big blows with this bad boy if you admit it. Right, Kevin?
He'll admit anything at that point.
Yeah. And we have the big dog, Kevin Coelho, the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez, of course, the producer/seducer, Nick Scarpino. What do you think Andy did, Nick?
Why do I think this has something to do with Nelly Furtado?
Oh, my God.
Hey, man. I can't be held responsible for Paulo's aunt coming into a Twitch chat, all right?
No, that's not. No. Greg is losing his mind. We're all watching a man slowly mentally fall apart, and we're fine with that, I guess.
I think a lot about the people that know nothing about us that just clicked on a random review for the final episode who have no context.
Let me welcome you to Kinda Funny, all right? Here's what's going to happen. You need to understand something, all right? You've entered into what I like to call the rat's den. And we have a bunch of rats hanging out, like one big scarf around a snowman. And we have fun here. If you don't want to get into this rat conga line with us, I got two words for you. Get out, all right? We're here having fun. You look at a rat, you say, oh, man, that's not a pet I'd like to have. We don't need you then, all right? We're rats hanging out with the rats right here around the snowman. Am I wrong, Nick?
You're not wrong, my friend. I don't know how the snowman came into this, but I mean, let's look at him together.
New t-shirt design. All five of us has rats in a conga line.
Yep. All right, snowman.
What if we were rats in a conga line? This is episode 9 of Nick, give it to me.
What if?
Thank you. Episode 9. What if the Watcher broke his oath? The season finale to season 1. We do know there will be a season 2 of What If coming at some point. This one is Chadwick Boseman's final performance ever as a variant of Black Panther. He definitely showed up a lot more than I expected him to throughout the season, as many more characters than I expected him to. But yeah, this was his final performance, which is very, very sad. But Greg Miller, I want to start with you. What did you think of this episode?
I think the fight scene with Ultron when they were all going around, that was really cool. I think, getting to see the Guardians of the Multiverse assemble was cool. I am such a fucking sucker for Captain Carter. Like, I just love Captain Carter. Like, I let you get in my head last week, Tim, on this show. We're like, maybe it'll be an Easter egg. Maybe she'll be live action. I was like, oh my God, please, 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 please. And so, not getting that hurt, but God damn, did she look good in that suit. You know what I mean? And to see her in the Winter Soldier whole like line, I was like, oh my God, this is so fucking cool. And you know, whatever. But the entire build up in the fight, and it's just like, it's the traditional problem with these kind of cartoons, right? Where, all right, this guy can just destroy fucking universes. And now I'm supposed to believe that these guys can just go toe-to-toe with him and he's not using every Infinity Stone in the moment to destroy him. And yeah, Doctor Strange just put a protection spell around him. Okay, but I was just like, this is a good cartoon. This is a good cartoon. I'm enjoying this cartoon, but it's a cartoon. Like, I thought we started so strong on this show might actually give us the vibes of the movies of the other Disney Plus shows we've seen. But in the end here, you get the end. I'm just like, all right, cool. This was a cartoon.
Andy Cortez.
I'm pretty positive on this episode. So get ready for the comments to come after you, Greg. They're on your ass now, you little rat.
First off, all the comments are right now, all they say is, and then they put in parentheses translation, I am a rat. That's what they're all saying. All
okay,
right.
I thought that's what the human side of like rat us rats
down there.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty hype the moment that we get the Watcher going around and you are the Guardians of the Multiverse. That's a pretty neat moment. I did have the same thoughts that Greg did of like, what, wait, he still has all the other stones though. Like we've seen Thanos decimate people with the other stones as well. It's not, you don't just need the Soul Stone. So that was like one of those things that I had to sort of suspend my disbelief on. But I did enjoy the action sequences. I thought they were really neatly choreographed. There's one scene where I think somebody, maybe it's Killmonger who jumps through the portal, and it looked really bad. It looked like he just hit a pose and that pose just kind of went through the portal. Like it looked like like a PNG kind of just floating through. But I kind of liked the way it ended. I did enjoy everybody going back to where they came from and kind of like, all right, from this moment on, like none of this happened. The masses won't know about this. And Black Widow showing up on the giant fucking airship or whatever it's called. What's it called?
Helicarrier.
The helicarrier. I thought that moment was really neat. And I got kind of chills and I'm happy for that Black Widow that she can kind of right the wrongs and now become Loki, I guess, on her universe. I thought that was pretty.
I think that's how that works. But yeah.
Well, I mean, I just
I
like that.
She's
well,
gonna
I mean,
be cool. I think. She's
I mean, she used the staff to like mind fuck him. So,
yeah, but
like,
the staff
the fight to win the fight.
Sure, sure.
I mean, the staff just has powers on its own. You don't even got to be a superhero.
Yeah,
it's like a car.
Yeah,
it's
the,
a car.
It's got the
Soul Stone in it.
Yeah.
Mind.
I just didn't know that. Mind, I didn't know sorry, you could just you, like Tim. Fucking use it as a human. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah.
Well, easy. This is really easy. Greg Miller for kind of funny.
Tim, as you are the tribunal and the host of this show, I would like to officially offer a vote of no confidence in the Nitro Rifle Andy Cortez and demand that you send him back to MCU rewatch school. And he has to watch everything again before he shows up for Hawkeye and review.
I like that.
Or yeah, Eternals. Never come first. Never get one.
You got to do it, you little rat.
You little rat. You're not even a rat. You're a mouse. We don't need mice.
God, yeah. Man.
I wanted
to be voted. A rat.
Look at that. He thought he was going to get away from the comments this week. They're going to be all over you like a rat on a piece of cheese.
Oh, God. Speaking of a rat on a piece of cheese, Kevin, what'd you think?
The fuck's that supposed to mean, all right?
It was like segues.
Yeah, I mean, this did very little for me. It's so many of the things were just like, you know, suspend your disbelief, where it's like, I'm shocked that at no point they were like, well, let's just go find stones in another universe. Let's go to the universe that's made of stones and get all the stones, and then we'll all have stones. You know, because that's just kind of like what the world, I feel like, is set up, where they could do anything, right? They said that in the last one, where it's like, we could do anything in the multiverse, which means that, like, does anything matter then? You know, I don't want to get all existential, but, you know, that's how I was feeling. My biggest issue is that, like, Gamora, like, who the fuck was this Gamora?
Yeah,
also,
I didn't,
man, the voice
her?
Acting on her.
I didn't see her.
Sorry, that was a lot of noise.
Sorry. What'd you say, Greg? Kevin was saying he didn't like the voice actor, which I agree as well, Kevin. Good call. And then Kevin also said, this Gamora. And I was like, oh, yeah, am I supposed to know her? I don't recognize her.
Wait, so before Tim talks, just to clarify, it's not that I didn't like the voice actor. I mean, the actor did a fine job. It's just that it was so different than the movie Gamora's voice that we know. It just caught me really, really off guard.
Is it Zoe or Zoe? I've never known.
Zoe Saldana.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I learned something today. Thank you. You've been promoted back to a rat, Andy.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to vote no.
Oh, come on. No
Tim.
Confidence.
I don't think he has the ability to be promoting people and not promoting.
Second.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to the tribunal a vote of supreme confidence in Nick. Nick should be in charge of MCU and review from here on out.
Thank you. Hey, please post it in the comments. Cheese. I just want all cheese in the comments this episode.
Tease it up. No, so the Gamora episode was scrapped from this season. It was planned to be part of it, and now it's rumored that it's going to be part of season two now. But the plot of it was some extent of what if Tony Stark went to Sakaar to try to like get Bruce back after Age of Ultron, and that's why you kind of see him in the Hulkbuster armor with the Ragnarok painting on it. And in that universe, Gamora kills Thanos and kind of becomes the Titan.
I know all this just from rumors, or
I mean, this has just been stuff. Like, there was a lot of merchandise and stuff like that she's been all over. There's things that like make references to some of the like very, very, very top level things that you can kind of put pieces together like that. Everything I just told you is like the extent of what we know, but yeah, she has Thanos's weapon, obviously.
it's absurd that they included that. Like, I feel like that kind of like lessens the fact that, like, you know, they built up all these characters to introduce him. The fact that they just throw in a character like, ooh, we had to scrap the episode. Like, that kind of feels like they don't respect us at all, but whatever.
Yeah, no, I hear, but I mean, it's a tease, and like, it's not like we need any more information, right? She has this thing that eats souls or stones. All right.
No, cool. But like, the point of this was to like emulate the Avengers, right? We're bringing together this team of characters that we all know and care about. And the fact that they were like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's some DC shit of like, look, okay, here's Aquaman. Like, wow, there you go. Have fun with that.
Wow.
Do I need to push him down to mice?
Wow.
I thought it was already a mouse.
Vermin.
I don't necessarily, I mean, obviously, I would have preferred if there was an episode of Gamora and all this, just because, like, I liked how every single episode was touched on in this one in some way, shape, or form to, like,
except culminate. Except for the Gamora one, yeah.
Well, that there wasn't an episode for that. So,
and plus, he wanted to put his suit around the world.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Again. Absolute point, baby. But the idea of what if, kind of like giving us the tools and understanding of like how these multiverses work. It's like, cool, we can fill in the gaps and understand. Like, yeah, there's a universe where Gamora has the stuff, and I'm like, cool, that is enough explanation. We don't need another 30-minute episode to get there, because we just had 8 of them that teach us how to think that way. But even more than that, to your DC point, Kev, it's like, this reminds me of Hawkeye, where we didn't get a Hawkeye movie and he was an Avenger. Like, we got enough movies of the other guys that we can contextually put together, cool, Hawkeye's with them too, and he's the superhero, and that's fine.
Man, it hurt. Hawkeye's... pains me to say, Kevin, but check fucking mate, all right?
No, bullshit. Hawkeye's movies is riddled throughout the 5 movies that came before it.
No, it's not. He makes, you know, one appearance in Thor.
There you go. Nailed it. Nailed it.
I'm glad that it's the same way.
We're getting a Hawkeye show now.
No, I mean, if Andy hadn't shit the bed so bad, Kevin, this would be the most embarrassing thing of the episode.
Yeah, I really thought,
man over there. You know what I mean?
I really thought we shifted. I thought we shifted focus, to be honest with you. No. I really thought.
What about you?
Greg sees all, knows all. He's like Vision.
They don't respect their time. That's all I'm saying.
God damn it.
Nick Scarpino, what did you think?
I liked the episode, but I agree. I don't think it was the strongest. I mean, I think it's hard for them to wrap these bigger episodes up. And this kind of is the curse of these MCU shows, is that they're not quite sticking the landing. Although I would argue they stuck the landing on this one fine enough for them to win the gold for me. I think
Loki,
all of the episodes really well, came well together. I love the Guardians of the Multiverse concept. I do agree. I would have liked to have seen Gamora, because when they get to Gamora and Tony, I was like, oh, he's going to pick Tony for sure, because we've seen Tony a bunch in this. And we haven't really seen Gamora that much. And
every,
he's like,
episode,
Gamora. You're like, Gamora, come on. And he's, I'm like, what? That's weird.
He just dies and gets shit on in every episode, Nick.
Yeah. but I liked it. And I think they sort of solved the big issue I had throughout the fight, which was like, I don't understand why he's not just snapping his fingers and killing these people. But they did show that Doctor Strange had, you know, he had the time stone. So I was like, okay, well, I guess he has some control over some of the stuff that's happening to be able to push back on this. But I don't know. I feel like, I'm like, how did you not see, at first I was like, how did you not see, what's his name? The green guy. No, the, what's it?
Zola.
Zola. How did you not see Zola going to take over that body? But apparently then the Watcher's like, well, I did. I foresaw all that happening. And I saw Killmonger, and I saw them locking in sort of like an epic eternal struggle back and forth. And it's kind of a bittersweet ending, of course, for Doctor Strange, too, because he's got to just sit there and babysit them the rest of the time, which I thought was a pretty cool ending. So for me, it wrapped up nicely. The fight, I agree, was a bit underwhelming, but seeing Vision and all that stuff, and having him kind of have that one Thanos-like moment where he's like, he's like, come on. These are the Infinity Stones. You can't destroy them. They're, you know, it is what it is. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. If you've got a small business, you know there's nothing more valuable than your time. So stop wasting it on trips to the post office. Stamps.com makes it easy to mail and ship right from your computer. Save time and money with Stamps.com. Send letters and packages for less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Joey uses Stamps.com all the time for all of our Patreon fulfillment, and she swears by it. Stamps.com brings the service of the U.S. Postal Service and USPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're in an office sending invoices, a side hustle, Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supply or equipment. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk, and with my promo code KINDAFUNNY, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale, no long-term commitment or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Kinda Funny. That's stamps.com with the promo code Kinda Funny. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
What I was hoping for is in the universe where the Watcher selects Killmonger and he's like, you've been chosen or whatever. I wanted the ghost slash the angel of Tony Stark to be like, dude, what the fuck? He killed me. And to be like, Watcher, what? And the Watcher to be like, one. There's one thing about this that I got. You know what I mean, Nick? You get understand?
Yeah, I told him like this. Well, I don't understand. What does that mean? I'm number one?
And he's like, no. Remember in the movie Endgame, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
That wasn't my universe. That wasn't my universe. That would be cool as shit, though.
Tim Geddes, you are the Supreme Chancellor of MCU in Review. What did you think of this episode?
Thank you. I liked it. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't let down overall by it, but I think that it reminds me a lot of Game of Thrones seasons, like not the last couple seasons, but like the earlier seasons where the penultimate episode is way more hype than the season finale is. The season finale is kind of just like, okay, cool, let's just wrap things up and put the bow on it. But it's really that second to last that you get the crazy shit. And this made me like last week's episode even more. Like I really like them fighting through the multiverse and like all the cool kind of stuff we got in the setup there. But I really liked that this one, it kind of closed the gaps and it really showed me that like this whole thing is the story of these new characters of the Watcher and Captain Carter and Strange Supreme. And I like that we got kind of like character arcs, especially for like Strange, like set up in episode 4, and then to kind of have him now end up here babysitting and like doing good, right? Like I think that that's cool, and it's exciting to me, the idea that we might see some of these characters, specifically Captain Carter and Doctor Strange, in future movies in some way. And that's going to be exciting. Like that's that, like they, with this What If season, they have kind of accomplished an entire universe of multiverses that I'm invested in and care about the characters, similar to things like the Spider-Man movies or the X-Men movies, where it's like we always theorize of like, oh, what if this character showed up or that character showed up. It's like now we have a new set of characters that I'm excited at the potential of them showing up in other things. So at the end of the day, like this show did its job of introducing me to new characters that I am invested in. I think that we just got so used to the art style over the season that like we kind of took it for granted, but like I was really blown away by some of the imagery we saw in this episode and last episode as well. I think the fight choreography is awesome. I totally agree that once you get to this power level, it just starts to become a lot of noise.
How do you make sense of it? Yeah.
And we just start asking questions like, why not get the stones? Why not do this? And it's like, all that's super valid. And like, unfortunately the answer is, and MCU even kind of wrote themselves into this place, it's like one of two things: either, well, we don't have a movie or show then if they did that,
right?
Or the other thing, which is they kind of can pull the bullshit of like, well, it had to happen this way because that was all part of the plan to lead to this moment. And it's like, all right, cool, whatever. But that's just where we're at. And when you start dealing with multiverse and time travel, that's kind of the only way to deal with it. But my favorite thing about the show, and this episode did it really well, is going back to really using the entire MCU that we know, all the locations, all the characters, all the weapons, all the things, and like seeing Nita Valier when they're making the gauntlet, like those little elements I really enjoy. Having Black Widow be the one, like the human character, shooting the Zola arrow with Hawkeye's bow, it's like that means something to us because we know what that weapon is, Hawkeye's and their connection and all this stuff. And even though it's not our Widow, it's a different Widow, and we kind of connect to it because of the previous episodes. Like, I'm surprised for this being an anthology show, how much it did come together and how much that worked for me in the end of it. But the other thing I really liked is in the beginning when we see Captain Carter kind of in the more Winter Soldier-y type situation. That is so cool that it kind of shows us that these worlds lived when we weren't watching. And when we did our Dark Knight review, like the Batman series, like I was talking about how I hated that because of things that they told us, we know that Batman, we've pretty much seen all of Batman's adventures on camera, like him going against the Scarecrow and then against Joker and then against Bane. That's it. He didn't really do Batman things otherwise because they told us that he was gone for 8 years and all the shit. With this, it's like we see Captain Carter at the end of the first episode. We don't see her until now. And they could fill the gap, and she's been doing a lot of shit. She's been working with Fury. They've been going out and doing stuff. And I'm like, that's cool. And that kind of is storytelling for me, where I'm like, I want to see more of this character, and it's not just like a random one-off little blip. So
that's on. If I can jump in there, that was one of my things of like, I know they're doing What If season two, because we've talked about that before, and it was almost like, oh man, I wish they weren't, and they were just going to do a Captain Carter series. Like, I would love to see we're just going to do a Captain Carter animated series that we go on and do, and rather than be hamstrung by the time constraints that What If has been every time we've talked about it, right? Where it's like, all right, you already know the movie, so we're speeding up and this is happening. All right, like if they let it breathe for an entire season of what she was doing and how her world spiraled out from it, I think could be interesting.
Yeah, I think connecting back to her felt a lot more meaningful than a lot of the other characters. I don't know if it was just because she was our introduction to this series, but going back to her felt right. And I wanted to see more of her kind of doing good and interacting with a lot of the characters from even other universes, I thought was pretty neat. But yeah, I do agree that I wish Captain Carter played a bit more of a pivotal role and we saw her more throughout as opposed to just the first episode, which feels like a lifetime ago, and now to this episode.
I loved Thor in this. I'm glad we don't need more Thor. We're good. We don't need more fat boy Thor.
Las Vegas. That's not a battle cry I'm familiar with.
The second time he yelled Vegas though got me, which was unexpected. And something about the way that they, I guess, framed his humor this time around worked way more for me than it did in the Party Thor episode. A lot of the criticism I got for my not liking that episode was like, come on, it's just silly fun. Like, and it's like, look, Thor Ragnarok is my favorite MCU movie, but the writing in this didn't really work for me. And here, those small moments that we got of Thor being the funny comedic relief, I thought really worked this time around.
Or is he kept saying the "have at you, have at you, have at you," and some of the things that were just funny because when I did the voice of the frog Thor in the game, I had to do the have at ye" as the frog. Uh-huh. It's funny. That's a Thor.
Are you inspired?
I didn't really read Thor comics. I don't never heard that before. My least favorite line of the entire thing was Nick Fury saying, "You're not my Natasha, but something tells me you have her spirit."
That was awful.
That was so bad.
The Watcher being like, basically implying that I have to put you back in your world, and then being like, just kidding, psych, here's a new world. It's like, all right, cool, thanks Watcher.
Yeah, so I'm kind of interested in that though, and especially with the title of this episode of The Watcher Breaks His Oath, for two reasons. One, who's his oath to? Like, we're going to find that out eventually.
Watchers.
That's interesting to me. And we know there's other Watchers out there because Guardians 2, we see a couple of them. But, that's interesting. And just the premise of the Watcher, he's not supposed to break his oath, and he very clearly breaks his oath here. Like, what is that going to result in? Like, and I feel like season 2 will probably delve into that a little bit more. But, yeah, him leaving Black Widow in the Pym universe, the episode 3 universe is interesting, right? Like that shouldn't be allowed. So what repercussions is that going to have in the future?
Right.
No. Yeah, even with
that wasn't the Pym universe, right? Because Iron Man died in that universe and she was talking to Iron Man.
Nick Fury.
It was, yeah. You see Captain America and Captain Marvel fighting.
Yeah, you're right.
Got it.
Well, no, I thought it was a new universe.
Oh, I thought it was one where at the end Loki decided to double cross Nick Fury, right?
I'm sorry. Yes, that would make sense. That would make sense.
The episode where all the Avengers were murdered, right? And then the new Avengers had to form the, like, not post credit, but the last scene was Captain Marvel coming down with Captain America, implying they were going to form a different universe Avengers, and now Black Widow's with them, which is cool. And we get obviously the zombies coming in for a moment, and then all the characters from the other episodes are in this. I thought that this did a good job of having touchstones of key importance to all the other episodes.
The zombie Scarlet Witch moment where she's like, and he just blows up the entire planet.
Sorry, I really thought,
did no one
I
survive?
Thought we were gonna see, I thought we were gonna see giant
Ant-Man zombie,
yeah.
Yeah,
I thought was Peter and Paul Rudd's head.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Wasp when they said, like, oh, she has to deal, or Ultron has to deal with something else. And then it ended up being zombie Scarlet Witch. But I thought it was going to be Wasp, which is kind of a surprise that we didn't get a bit of that, since that was such a big pivotal moment in that episode.
One thing we did talk about that I fucking loved was the many Mjolnir spell. where they're fighting, cool. And then yeah, there's cool. shit ton of Mjolnirs flying around. And I'm like, I think that the fight choreography in the show has been really top notch and cool. And I like that they just go for it. Like, it would be cool if we had Strange do a spell to make hella Mjolnirs, and then they did it. I'm like, yeah, it was cool. Good for you guys.
I love all that stuff. And yeah, I love it. Like, I love that you kind of can kind of be like, okay, he's obviously more powerful now, right? Because he's like killed all those monsters and he's sucked their souls and he's got all that power. So it's almost believable that he could take on the Infinity Stones for a little bit. But yeah.
A moment I didn't like was the him giving a speech and everyone like him fucking up
that
the speech.
That fell. That
and
fell
it was just like, wow, what a dumb, like, doesn't seem like this fits that character, but like, whatever. It's just those moments are the ones that like break the show for me.
Sometimes they're hit or miss. That one missed. I was like, okay, this is just a bad joke. They should have cut this out. Because obviously, I mean, we've heard Doctor Strange talk before, and this is a different Doctor Strange. He's more flustered. He's been there, you know. But I have a hard time believing that Benedict Cumberbatch's character or Benedict Cumberbatch wouldn't be like, I'm going to knock this speech out of the park. But, you know, obviously.
Well, he's been, what, isolated for decades or whatever? You know,
yeah, but time is a flat circle. Time is a circle. Yeah, that's true. Sphere.
My question would be, too, then, you know, Ultron has the thing of, like, I'm surprised Watcher didn't tell you, of course, that Infinity Stones are different everywhere, right? There's tiny differences. Is that the way that we're getting around everybody grabbing at the Infinity Stone, right? Because, like, it seemed like everybody was just trying to grab the Soul Stone no problem when it was running around.
I just felt there was a protection spell, and okay. They were like, they drank stuff.
We've seen in the movies that the Soul Stone can be touched by humans, and it's okay. Right, like think about when they first get the Soul Stone. So it's like we know the Power Stone causes problems with people holding it, but not necessarily the other ones. I mean, I'm even trying to think like the Space Stone is usually in the Tesseract, and humans can hold that, but I don't know if they can hold the stone. But I think, as far as I know, the Power Stone is the only one we know that humans can't touch.
Okay,
but let me know in the comments below if that is correct, and let us know what you think about Nick. Give it to me one last time.
What? Eh?
And also, just drop some cheeses in the chat.
Get in there, you rats.
You know?
But when I say cheese, by the way, I want, like, your favorite provolones, the monsters.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, cheese emojis.
Swiss cheeses.
I leave it
up to
you. Yeah, you want to name your cheese? You want to put a cheese in? You want to go cheese, like an old school? Fine with me.
Fine with me. Till next time. Love you all. Bye.